Welcome to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and TKK's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Brandon Kohlberg has been a mortgage advisor for over 14 years and is ready to assist you. Call Brandon now at 704-999-6646. Visit carolinasmortgageradio.com. And now, here is your host, Brandon Kohlberg.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I am your host, Brandon Kohlberg. Call us anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. If you've been paying attention to the market, you know that rates are continue to be very low. Fantastic time to purchase or certainly refinance. One thing that's happened in the last week in regards to refinances is late Wednesday night, actually with no warning, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the two agencies that purchase all conventional loans, actually opposed a fee on all refinances equivalent to about 50 basis points in pricing. So if you have a $200,000 loan amount, essentially the cost of that fee on refinances is about $1,000. Certainly kind of changed up the market just a little bit last week, but nonetheless, still some fantastic savings out there in the marketplace. Certainly a money grab from Fannie and Freddie as they work to maybe go private one of these days. But nonetheless, there is talk about the Trump administration actually getting involved and taking that fee away. This happened back in 2007. Back in the lead up to the mortgage crisis, they actually imposed a 25 basis point fee, a 0.25% fee. And so they really went after it last week with a 0.5% fee on these refinances. But nonetheless, rates are still hovering around historic lows and a fantastic time to refinance. That does not affect purchase rates right now. So purchase rates still, you know, really below 3% right now, depending on some different variables. And so again, you know, we know we are in a very, very hot market. We're going to get into that today with Joe Carteret, the Carteret Group at Keller Williams, and talk about the market and talk about why, you know, now is such a, you know, continues to be a fantastic time to purchase and kind of what all the reasons are for that, and then maybe how to take advantage of it yourself, or if you're in the business, if you're a real estate agent listening, you know, how to begin to, you know, better market and better position yourself with brand awareness today. So we've got a great show lined up for you today. Again, call us anytime during or after the show with questions, 704-999-6646. Joe Carteret, the Carteret Group at Keller Williams. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Good, man. How are you doing, Brandon? Good to be here.
We appreciate you having you. I'm certainly doing fantastic. The mortgage business right now is just continues to be just crazy. Tons of volume with the home purchases and refinances. Really across the board, there's, you know, I'd say the mortgage business right now is short staffed by a couple hundred thousand people. So, you know, if you're out there and looking to get into the mortgage business, or if you're looking to make a switch, definitely reach out. You know, it's a fantastic opportunity, fantastic business, but it does, you know, has presented some challenges recently. Is from a timing perspective, you know, lenders across the area, turn times have slowed down a little bit, but still a great time. So it's been an interesting past couple weeks, but one we certainly enjoy and can take advantage of. So Joe, give us a quick you know, rundown of who you are and why you're here, and tell us a little about Joe Carteret.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. We were talking earlier before we started about the mortgage and some of the challenges there with recruiting. I was like, man, I need to jump in the mortgage world a little bit. You guys got some great incentives to get some folks over there, so you guys need to call Brandon up. So I joined the real estate business here about 6 months ago, actually. It was a career change for me. I am from North Carolina, so a native of North Carolina. Spent a brief stint in Texas for a couple of years and then brought my family back here around Christmas time. So excited to be back in North Carolina, specifically Charlotte. We live in the South Charlotte area.
Yeah.
I was born and raised actually in Oak Island, North Carolina. So those of you who are familiar, the Brunswick County beaches, beautiful place to live. And I'm sure we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But moved to Charlotte, spent about 19 years in Charlotte. So very familiar with the area. And just in the 19 years that I've been here, it has exploded. You know, the difference in where folks are moving and the areas tend to get further and further out. So I'm sure we'll get more into that in a little bit. But yeah, that's me.
Yeah, yeah. In 19 years, I've been here for about 16 now. And certainly just in those years, Charlotte has undergone drastic changes. I mean, for the good, too. I mean, there's been a really good place, plan in place for not just Charlotte, obviously, that has extended down to Fort Mill and Rock Hill as well. And then you see all the businesses that are taking place or moving down to Fort Mill and Rock Hill with, you know, the new Panthers facility. Big company just announced, I think yesterday, big investment in manufacturing facilities and warehouse facilities down in Rock Hill near where the Panthers facility is going. And so, yeah, I'm imagine that the changes you've seen has been good for the real estate business.
Yeah, it absolutely has. And I mean, being a newcomer and joining the time that I did, it was very interesting. So we'll talk more about that, I'm sure. But I joined, and about a week later, things kind of shut down to COVID. It's definitely interesting, and have basically had to pivot my entire time in the business. So it's been a cool ride, definitely.
So let's kind of go back. So somewhat new to the business, right before COVID hit, you know, crazy timing. What were you doing before?
Yeah, so a lot of people kind of look at me with an interesting look on their face. So totally different world. I've been in protective services my entire life, adult life. And to those who don't understand that, basically, I worked a lot in the corporate world, corporate security, security and safety measures for large corporations, protective details. I also own a consulting firm where we do security consulting that is based out of Texas. And a lot of what we have done in that world and what I did in my previous life was really just keeping people safe and getting them home to their families.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, very different from real estate. But yeah. I do have an extended background. There is a connection. My father's actually a general contractor back home in Brunswick County, as well as a broker. So he's had his broker's license for about 20, 25 years.
Yeah.
And I grew up running around job sites and being in homes and running in and getting keys to go tour homes with my dad. So it was familiar to me. It was something that I enjoy. It ties directly to what my career has been, which is taking care of people. Sure. I spent my entire life protecting people, and this is just an extension of that, really being able to protect both their financial interests, but also make sure that they have a place for them and their families. So yeah, it's very rewarding.
Yeah, for sure, which is very important to me. That's really the crux of, you know, developing a good business in as a real estate agent. You know, do we truly care about the client? What was it about that about real estate that made you, you know, make the switch, you know, kind of do that? Was it something you didn't like about the former, or just you saw real estate as just kind of your future?
Yeah, so it's a great question. You know, things are changing in the security world. The focuses are changing. The day in the life, if you will, is very different nowadays. You know, being in the corporate world, my last contract was in corporate retail, and in the retail industry right now, you know, things are going all over the place. We see businesses that are going out of business left and right, large retailers that have been around for years. So their focuses are having to change to cut costs. And I was away from home a lot. Mm-hmm. So I've got a 4-year-old daughter, my wife and I, being from here, we have a 4-year-old daughter, and I was traveling more than I really wanted to be. Sure. And knew that at 4 years old, it was time to get home and get settled. So we had planned to transition back to North Carolina anyways. I had a 2-year contract that ran out there, 2.5 years in Frisco, Texas, which is a beautiful place, by the way, a little too hot for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got back to the Carolinas where my wife and I can see 4 defined seasons and enjoy that and really be able to be home, still be very customer and client focused. But doing it here locally and being able to get that family time, which is critical to me as well.
For sure. So as you get into real estate, what were some of the skill sets that you took from, you know, protective services into obviously, you know, caring for the client, protecting the client? What were some of the other skill sets that, you know, just adapted very well to your new career?
Yeah, absolutely. So my entire career has been all about having grit. And to me, that means, you know, putting roadblocks to the side, not allowing things to get in the way. I would say I'm very resilient. Having resilience is critical in this business because every day something new is thrown at us. I mean, we kind of laughed about the industry, the mortgage industry, and I mean, that's changing every day. The focuses, you know, the timeliness of things needing to get done and meeting deadlines. That's what my entire career was about, is making sure that we nailed a deadline. The mission was the same regardless of what we had in front of us, that it had to be done. And we didn't allow things to get in the way. So I think, you know, when I look at who I am both from a just person, but also in my career, you know, being able to not allow things to stop you. I am probably one of the most competitive people that I know.
Yeah.
I'm a numbers guy, so I stare at numbers. I look at people that I aspire to be or be similar to in production and things like that. And I go after it. I look at the numbers, but then I surround myself around them because I think that, you know, I can get there quicker by surrounding myself with those folks that are successful. But I think integrity is high with me. I will pass up a deal in a heartbeat. I don't take, you know, clients that there seems to be something that there's an integrity concern there. Because equally, it's about relationships. And if I can't build that connection or relationship with someone, you know, I don't expect them to be able to do, you know, if they can't do the same with me, it's got to be a perfect match.
It just works better when everyone's on the same page, the same team. You know, when some people, for whatever reason, you know, want to be adversarial, especially in this business, the agent, and I talk about all the time on the radio show here, the real estate agent, the lender, you know, the attorney, the insurance agent, like, we're all a team. We all want the same thing. We all want to help the client get to the closing table with a fantastic experience. And sometimes you do have that outlier that just wants to fight everybody.
Yeah.
And it just makes a bad experience.
Exactly. And I think that at the end of the day, where I've seen the difference just in the short time in real estate, but it goes back to my previous career, is you have to keep the mission your top priority. So for us, it's the deal. You have to keep the deal your number one priority. And if you focus too much on just being transactional and not being relational and building that connection, and listening, if you're not listening to understand exactly what the client needs, what the mortgage lender needs, the attorney needs, you're constantly going against the grain. You're going against each other and people are working in different directions. So it is critical in a real estate transaction that you have those partners that you trust. You understand how they work so that you can kind of, you know, layer in there where appropriate, and that you follow through on what you say you're going to do. And I think that's critical both at the client level and with your partners.
For sure.
You know, to build that trust.
Absolutely. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. Give us a call anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. We're in studio with Joe Carteret, the Carteret Group at Keller Williams. So Joe, as you know, you're a big numbers guy, you're looking at the real estate business. Were you factoring in, were you beginning to look at numbers as far as, like, you know, projecting what you think you could do, or was those the numbers that you were looking at as you got into it?
And you're talking about, like, production?
Yeah.
For myself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a goal-driven guy. At the end of the day, what I do is when I got into this, and I started to understand the business, get familiar with Keller Williams, phenomenal brokerage, which we'll talk more about in a moment. You know, I made sure that I surrounded myself by people that know how to do it, that know the business, that put themselves up on a pedestal. So I drew out my goals for the year. Now, you know, none of us really knew what the pandemic was going to bring or what that was going to look like. Luckily for us, you know, real estate has continued to climb. So it has helped me in getting to those goals. And then I've already started building out 2021 as well. And really, I call them stretch goals. For most people, they look at them and probably kind of, you know, their jaw drops. But I tend to thrive under pressure. And if I put pressure on myself through those stretch goals, I tend to actually hit it, you know, the majority of the time. So that's kind of how I build things out for my business.
Yeah, I mean, certainly there's you know, a number of good real estate companies out there. I think one thing that Keller Williams does, you know, very well is, you know, that goal setting training. I mean, you know, if you're a book reader, you know, Gary Keller's got some good books on that as well. And obviously he's leading Keller Williams. So it goes, you know, very natural that, but yeah, so if, I mean, I think we could all do better regardless of what industry or field that we're in, if we would actually, you know, kind of set some, you know, proper goals, some stretch goals, and then begin to, you know, execute a plan to go after them. And that's one thing certainly Keller Williams does very well in training. So you get into the real estate business, you immediately go to Keller Williams because of that. What were some of the other factors that led you to choose Keller Williams?
Yeah, I think to your point, Keller Williams and just my research, and I spent an extensive amount of time researching. You go through real estate school. Those of you who know about the process in North Carolina, it's 80 hours of class. You have a lot of time to think through, what do you want to do? What does your real estate business look like? Who do you want to go with? And you get the opportunity to interview some of those firms as well. Every time I spoke to someone about firms, and specifically Keller Williams, training came up, support came up. And being the largest brokerage in the world with the largest amount of resources, I knew that that was going to be critical with somebody transitioning into real estate. Teach me how to do it, and I'm good, and be a good resource, and give me the tools that I need, and that's how I feel that I'm going to thrive. So it was a no-brainer for me coming out of the gate, knowing that training was going to have to be critical and having that support that I need. I got a phenomenal group here locally. I'm at the Keller Williams Ballantyne is where my home office or my local office is. And Jim Fischetti is the team leader, CEO there, and he's just phenomenal. He's got books on Amazon. He's a legend in the real estate world. And I couldn't find a better support partner there.
So you get in a week later, things get shut down. Certainly, COVID-19 has been a disruptive force and in our nation. I would argue in some ways, I think it doesn't make our market hotter. Necessarily, but I think it does make our market a little bit more attractive. You know, there's some cities out there that I think people are just tired of, that have, some of the issues have been highlighted during COVID-19. And I think we're seeing some a big influx, or going to continue to see a big influx of people moving from, you know, all over the nation into areas like Charlotte. I know Texas, where you spent a few years, is a very attractive spot to a lot of people as well. But certainly the greater Charlotte area is way up there. I mean, top five, top three in the nation as far as, you know, destination points. And I think that gets even more attractive due to COVID.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, out of the gate, even before COVID, a lot of people ask me this about, well, why is the Charlotte market not taking the tank that some other markets have? And there's a lot of factors there. If you look specifically at COVID, a lot of other areas are shut down. They still cannot transact. There's folks that cannot do open houses or actually in-person tour homes. That makes it difficult. Now, hopefully they're pivoting to make sure that they're putting their business as a priority and being there for their clients. I think Charlotte was already seeing a huge increase in traffic anyways and folks moving here.
Right.
Whether it's the climate, it's the access. I mean, Charlotte, we're, what, hour and a half to the mountains, 3 hours to the coast. Tech companies are coming here. Folks are escaping some of these larger kind of outlying cities because of tax purposes. North Carolina is a very attractive place to be right now, and Charlotte has continued that trend of attracting big businesses. I think we mentioned before the show, and I just looked last quarter alone through the Chamber's website. You can see that we have over $1.5 billion in committed investment from new companies or companies that are existing here. Just that kind of investment into the community brings jobs, brings opportunity for folks. The other thing, speaking specifically to COVID, is folks are working remote. We were just talking about, I've got some property that's going to go live down at the coast. Why not move to the coast now when your company is telling you, hey, I don't care where you're working, just get your work done, right? So
right.
It makes it more attractive to folks to be able to say, what's important to me? What's the goals of my family? So just a couple thoughts that I have there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fantastic point. The availability of working remote now, where, and you know, depending on what report you're reading on the day, whether it's, you know, next year or 5 years down the road, but no doubt the remote worker is going to increase over time, and no longer being tied to a specific area or having to be tied to a specific area certainly opens up opportunities. And one would think, you know, who wouldn't want to be at the beach?
Yeah, right.
So you're from the Brunswick Beaches, and doing some marketing there for some second homes. You got some listings going. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things I did early starting out in real estate is I kind of did it in reverse order. A lot of times folks build their real estate business and then they start to expand in other markets. I'm taking a different approach. I've got different reasons behind that, but being very targeted in our marketing to branch into markets. We are affiliated now. We have an office in Raleigh, the Carteret Group does, and we just this week are announcing that we are affiliated out of Wilmington, North Carolina. What that does for us is it allows us, first and foremost, we join another MLS. We now have access to about 3/4 of the state's MLS. So what that means is the multiple listing service allows us to list properties, make sure that they're presented in front of buyers that are looking, other brokers that are trying to find properties for their buyers. It gives us a more opportunity to expand. So we thought about it from a standpoint of how do we provide for our clients. And really, that's what it's about. If I have a client that lives here in Charlotte that is thinking about a secondary property, which right now is a great time to invest in, I want to be their resource, and the expectation that they have with me being that we're highly focused on the client experience, they know that I'm going to give them that at the coast as well. Being from the Brunswick County beaches, I would probably consider myself to be an expert in that area. We have a ton of opportunity down there. There's a lot of building going on that's down there right now, a lot of property that's for sale. And right now you can get a really good deal to either build your dream secondary home, or we can help you find a home that's existing down there to where somebody's just decided that they want to invest somewhere else, and they're going to go ahead and list their property at the coast.
You can send me some of those listings after after the show. I'll check them out. Again, who doesn't want to be at the beach? But so Javi, you've been in you get in the business immediately COVID-19. So it's really all you've known. What's been kind of the hardest part? I don't know if it was the transition into real estate as a new career, or you know, battling with the COVID-19 restrictions, or just being an agent in general.
Yeah, I think it's just, I'm really big on setting foundation. If you don't have a foundation, the house crumbles. So as I start to build and expand, we're really focused on four things right now with the Carteret Group. First and foremost is brand awareness. New coming out of the gate, that was going to be critical. Folks need to know who we are and know what our proposition is that we offer. The second is we need to stay focused on being able to provide a phenomenal client experience. Everything that we do and touch, we want to make sure that our client feels that it is the best that they're going to get in the business, and I feel confident in that. We're also focused on building systems, making sure that we are building systems that accommodate the needs of our clients operationally in-house. And then the last thing is continuing to position ourselves to grow. And whether it is learning through the trends of the market, whether it's learning through dialogue with our clients, we do a lot to stay very connected to our clients. We tend to feel that sometimes we over-communicate, but I'd rather be known for that than the opposite, of course.
For sure.
I knew coming into it that I had to set some things in place that were going to set us up for success, while maintaining the expectations that we're putting people over profit, and staying focused on building those relationships. The hardest thing, honestly, has been, from a logistical standpoint, I'm a guy that likes to be face-to-face. So right. I like the happy hours to be able to get in front of somebody, to meet new people. Friends bring their friends that maybe are interested in real estate. It seems more personable when it is in person. So just the logistical challenges of COVID. But we've pivoted. We've used Zoom. I'd love to be an investor in Zoom right now. Right. I think most of us would, right?
Yeah.
But we've had to pivot, and it's been okay for our clients as well. We've been able to meet them where they are, which I think is critical in any business that you're in.
Absolutely. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Colberg. Give us a call anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. We're talking with Joe Carteret with the Carteret Group at Keller Williams, Ballantyne, and also Raleigh and Wilmington. Joe, you mentioned brand awareness. I want to kind of focus on that for a little bit, because it's key for everybody, whether you're just branding yourself as a person or as a business. And you mentioned the Carteret Group's proposition. Define that. What does that mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really, what are you going to get from us? Why choose us over someone else? I think first and foremost is we live and breathe by the idea that without the relationships, we don't have anything else. I think that if you stay focused on those relationships and understanding the needs of the people that you're truly trying to serve, everything else will come. Of course, I want to be successful. I want to, make money for my business, reinvest it into the community and my business. But if I focus on that too much, then I'm losing focus of what the need is. And my clients will tell you. They'll tell you what their need is. You just have to be able to listen. So first and foremost is our client experience. I do believe that we over-communicate, as I mentioned earlier. They're going to get a high touch, is what I would like to call it, experience. We'll do anything to get them to the goal that they're looking for. Little things, and I try not to advertise this. My wife says I'm going to get in trouble, but little things like, I had a client that had a tree that needed to come down. It looked awful. A landscaper got a hold of it, and too many limbs were sticking out after they tried to trim a box tree, basically.
Yep. And
we couldn't get a landscaper out there for 2 days. It needed to be done. I got it out of the ground. So it's just things, and it's just one small example, but we're going to find a way to get the job done and make sure that our clients are prepared for whatever phase that they are in that transaction. The other thing is doing events. When we get back from COVID, we have events already planned out. We've got some partnerships with some local restaurants to be able to help boost their economy and their bounce back, to be able to leverage some of their private rooms and then take some of our clients and bring them in. And it's a thank you, but it's also a listening session because I want to understand what experience they had. Where could we do better? And I think that those are critical things that we do. I think the second thing beyond experience for us is, knowing that we're not going to settle, knowing that we're focused on the deal. And if we stay focused on the deal, the client is going to win in the end. Most clients that are selling a property, they want two things. They want to sell as quickly as possible, and they want to get as much net from the deal that they can. And I think that we level set those expectations very well in the beginning, so that we're truly going after the right things. That's not the same for everybody. Some people may want different things, right? You see it in the mortgage world. You know, their focuses, their financial focuses are very different. And I think that the last thing we bring is reach. The thing that we're doing by kind of expanding in the opposite direction as far as expanding now so that we are accommodating the needs of our client. All of us in North Carolina that are licensed brokers are licensed to transact anywhere in North Carolina. The gray area is that there is the multiple listing service. And their multiple listing service really is in regions. So for example, in Mecklenburg County, the Charlotte area, we may have 16 counties that feed this multiple listing service. Most brokers are going to work within those 16 counties. Some, the immediate counties here in the Charlotte area, intend to farm out some of the other business. For us, we'll certainly refer anywhere in the world that we need to, because Keller Williams has that pipeline to be able to do so. However, with us, you're going to get a hands-on approach in the Raleigh area at the coast that's going to be a little different and a little more high touch than most areas.
Certainly. So you talked about setting expectations, and I think that goes right into the client experience. And I think that's just so very important. That's certainly kind of what we focus on from the lending side at Mortgage Right. Talk about setting the proper expectations, because a lot of people out there, especially now, have their maybe preconceived notions about their sales price or what they want in a home. You know, how do you go about setting the proper expectations for buyers and sellers and then maybe delivering on that experience through the process?
Yeah, I think first and foremost is authenticity. You got to be transparent.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, Brandon, if I'm helping you sell a home, and I truly don't understand what your needs are, what your goals are in the end, I'm not going to give you the best representation. And honestly, in the moment, I can't feel like I'm doing my job because I don't really understand all the nuances. So I think, transparency is first and foremost. The initial consultation, whether you're working with a seller or a buyer, is that opportunity first and foremost to educate. Education is really huge in the real estate world because at the end of the day, and I've been there as well, most buyers or sellers, they know only in the moment when they have to transact, right? But being able to educate them on the different steps in the buying or selling process, we have guides that we have put together specific, whether you're buying or selling or investing, to be able to say, hey, here's the typical steps in that transaction. And we go through that during the consultation to make sure there's clarity. The second thing is really staying close during the transaction. We try to ease the frustration or the typical emotions that can come in selling or buying a house because people have lives. People have their kids that they have to deal with, especially now if you have children.
Yeah.
My gosh, I can't imagine being at home with school-age kids right now. Hats off to them, right? They have a lot of focuses, the job, the market, what's going on right now. We try to ease a lot of that burden by taking things off their plate that are day in and day out that we can take care of. And then I think from there, it's simply being able to deliver to those promises. We put promises out there. We don't overpromise. We're just transparent in that moment. You know, an example of that is if a buyer comes to us and says, oh, the market's great. Now I'm going to get a deal. Everybody wants to get a deal. Yeah, I do too. Trust me, as an investor, I mean, I would love to get a deal, right? But it's just not the time right now. If you're a serious buyer, it's not the time to gamble. We're running into multiple offer situations on a lot of homes. I was looking a couple of days ago at the brackets, and we tend to put pricing into brackets. So, for example, the Charlotte Realtor Association, they look at the $100,000 to $199,000. That's a bracket from $200,000, and so on. And right now, one of the hottest brackets is that $100,000 to $199,000 bracket. where it's 8 days on the market is typically what we're seeing right now. And then outside of this bracket, so it's a little higher. But you go into an offer situation as a buyer, you have to tell them that, that you're not coming in here to offer $50,000 lower because it's just not going to happen. We'll do it because we will obey our clients and that's our job. But if you're wanting to get the house, you got to make sure we're realistic and we got to tell them that up front.
Yeah, I had a buyer reach out to me yesterday and asking questions about financing for foreclosure homes or for pre-foreclosure homes. And I was like, well, you know, why are we looking at, you know, foreclosure, pre-foreclosure? Well, we want a good deal. I was like, well, let me tell you about a good deal right now in pre-foreclosure, foreclosure homes. I mean, it's just, they're really not out there. Even foreclosed homes, which is, you know, rare these days, and I don't expect that to really change too much. Even with, you know, some of the forbearances on mortgages that are out there. But even those are, you know, going multiple offers. We just have a lack of inventory. We've talked, a lot about it over the past few months. We just have a severe lack of inventory in the greater Charlotte area. And so especially in that 100, 199, I mean, you know, you're seeing, you know, a dozen offers first day. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's good if you're a seller right now.
For sure.
I saw a picture on Facebook or something, and it was an open house that someone had in my other office last weekend. Mm-hmm. And they had a line out the door and down the driveway because they were practicing safe distancing and all that and limiting. But it was just amazing to see that kind of foot traffic because there are buyers. I feel like we're seeing more serious buyers right now because those expectations are
certainly
up front.
Weeds out, yeah, a little bit for sure.
It does. Now, where I'm cautious and very mindful is I don't want to lose my first time home buyers in that fear factor, if you will, because at the end of the day, you know, we want to bring them along. We truly encourage getting into home ownership. It's one of the greatest feelings in the world once you do. And we really focus on educating those that are renting right now that, look, you can buy. In a lot of cases, we could probably get you in a home in partnership with our mortgage partners for equal or less of what you're paying in rent.
Yeah.
So just being able to educate them so that they understand that. I think you brought up about the market. Since February 2020, we've seen a huge decrease in listings and the inventory that has taken place. Right now, we're sitting on about 1.3 months of inventory. And for those who don't understand what that means, or you know, it's basically saying that if we were to stop today taking listings across the Charlotte region, we've got about 1.3 months worth of inventory in place to sell. And that's really low. We really should be about that six months.
Right, a balanced market is about 6 months.
About 6 months, yeah. And that'll carry you through. But it's a need for sure. Now, I will say in July, over the past 2 months, we've seen an increase. We're in the positives of about 4% in the Charlotte region in listings. So that's huge for us because it is opening up doors for buyers. The flip side of that means that with listings being low, the inventory being low, it tends to show prices will increase. So if you're thinking about buying, you're thinking about getting into a home, now is the time to find a professional, talk to them about getting into a home and making sure that you're looking at some realistic goals to get in there as well. But it's a great time to buy right now, and we've been very fortunate in Charlotte.
Yeah, for sure. And then you know, talk about appreciating values. Even though the values are going up and it may cost more for to purchase a home, when you look at the interest rate, what that does to your purchasing power, it certainly makes it a great deal. I mean, you're talking, you know, on a $250,000 house, you know, with rates where they are right now, it's about the same payment as about a $300,000 house was about this time last year. I mean, it's quite significant. So, you know, even with values going up, you're still getting a fantastic, if you look at payment, still a fantastic deal.
Yeah, and that's been huge. When you talk about that buying power, whether you're a first-time home buyer getting a bigger house or a more expensive house, or that family that maybe is running on one income right now, and mom or dad is that one income, and you still got to get into a home, you may be able to get that bigger home for your family or a home in an area that maybe you'd like to be in. So it's huge.
For sure. You know, we talked a lot about it recently and with everything that's going on. But yeah, I mean, I couldn't imagine. You know, so my wife worked up until last summer and then she was able to no longer work. And I couldn't imagine if we were a two-person working household with Clyde. We got three kids. And so, you know, I can only assume people out there looking for different ways to either make more money, to you know, decrease cost, and certainly that's the one certainly good thing that that has taken place with rates dropping is, you know, people have an opportunity to save some money, whether they're purchasing a home or refinancing. You talk about renting right now. It almost feels like renting a home. It not only is it more expensive, but it seems like it's even harder to get a rental than it is a mortgage. I've got my assistant in my office. Her daughter-in-law was moving up to Raleigh, speaking of Raleigh, and had an apartment she thought lined up. They were going back and forth, I guess, on the application. She moves up there, and they told her they can't rent it to her.
Yeah.
As, I mean, for qualification purposes, I mean, it's just it's certainly crazy. And so the real market right now is fairly brutal.
Yeah. I got a condo going live in a couple weeks out there. She's interested.
Okay.
Well, it's actually near the university. I don't know what school she's going to. Yeah. It's near state. So anyways, it's crazy because at the end of the day, I was looking yesterday. I do have a client that we're helping with a short term rental. And I was clicking around on the MLS and looking, and I looked at a rental that was a 4-bedroom house for $3,500. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure with my mortgage partners, I can get you into a beast of a house for under $3,500, yeah, you know, in the Charlotte area. And it's, I almost wonder, and I'm a student certainly to this and learning what holds people back from investing. There's tons of different reasons, of course, in home ownership. But if you have that opportunity to go ahead and get into a home and buy, it's amazing what the rates are doing, to your point earlier, right now.
Yeah, and if there's anything, if you're listening and anything is holding you back, whether it be credit, maybe it's income or funds for closing, don't let that stop you from giving us a call. We can help you. We can work on personal finances. We can work on credit. Certainly, those are services that I provide for free of charge. Call us anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. So great tip, Joe. Joe Carteret with the Carteret Group at Keller Williams here in studio with us. So, Joe, crazy times. What is your advice? As a newer agent who's come in right out of the gate, right into COVID-19, has had great success developing into three different MLSs over in the state of North Carolina. What would your advice for new agents be?
Yeah, so I think first and foremost is you have to have a brand identity. You have to come in. I mean, we're in an age now of a lot of stuff's online, right? We,
for sure,
we shop for anything you can imagine online. And if you don't have an online presence in this stage, you're kind of going to get lost. So I think first and foremost is having a brand identity. You have to come out of the gate and be able to state who you are and get yourself in front of people. Social media is critical. You know, I sit down on Sunday evenings and I plan out my social media calendar for the week. And it's really a mix of different posts, whether it is educational, whether it is just something funny, a meme, you know, it's really about being there for people and being top of mind. The other thing, speaking of top of mind, that is critical is how often are you following up with people? So as a new broker coming in, a lot of people talk about sphere of influence. Who is your sphere of influence?
Right.
When I got in, I uploaded a contact list of about 800 people into my CRM because these were the people that I, you know, have in my contact list, some that I stay in contact with. I would probably say 30, 40% of those I talk to, you know, throughout the year. But it's really about how are you getting in front of those, that other 60% or whatever it may be. The other thing I would say is find a brokerage that is going to be a support partner. You want to, you know, you're truly going into business and you need to think about this as a new broker. You're not coming out to go work for somebody. You're starting a business, and starting a business or running a business is very different than going in and getting a corporate job. You need to have about 6 months income in your account. Because at the end of the day, you can't come out thinking the very next day you're going to close a transaction. It just doesn't happen like that. Now, if you get out there and hustle, you get yourself in front of people, you have the right support system, within the first month, it's not unheard of to be able to have a transaction in place. But you have to prepare for those things. You got to be planful for sure.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, with what we do, you know, what my first recommendation to any loan officer out there that I coach or work with is always, who do you know?
Yeah.
And you know so many more people than you think. Just start writing names down. I mean, and then we can't make someone buy a house. We can't make someone, you know, sell a house. But what we do well is solution to needs. Like you mentioned earlier, what do we do in setting expectations? Well, we find out what the needs are, and then we can provide maybe solutions. And maybe the solution, as a real estate agent, the solution is not just I want to buy a house, or the need is not just I want to buy a house. There's a lot of other things that go with it, and you ask the questions, and then so you can actually put a plan in place. And so that's always, my number one tip for loan officers, for any salespeople, really. Who do you know, and how well can you get the word out for what you do and see if they need that service?
Yeah, and it's also who do they know?
Right.
At the end of the day, it's not thinking a one-layer approach. It's I may have uploaded 800 and some folks into my CRM, but if could I times that by four? I don't know. Could I times it by three? So kind of thinking beyond that, what does that level of the pyramid look like? And at the end of the day, if you keep yourself focused on not trying to get a sell from them, right, and you keep it focused on coming from contribution and coming from, hey, how's life? How are your kids? Now's a great time to really check in with people. People are in different stages emotionally. So it's important to truly and be genuine about it, not just do it because you're planning this. And I think that's what sets us apart from those folks that are going to be successful and those who get into the business and they either turn part-time or they just, decide, oh, this is too hard. You can't allow something to be too hard. You got to get out there and truly show contribution to people.
For sure. And you mentioned social media. I wanted to pull this up too, just the power of social media, especially today. I was talking with another new agent yesterday, and he was, part of a team, and I guess they weren't using social media. He just felt, that he was being a little bit not well represented on that phase of things. So this just kind of goes to show the power. We posted, we do a listing of the week for some of our agents. We posted this yesterday, and just this shows the power of social media and how hot the market is. A little property in Lancaster, South Carolina, 39 shares, all organic. We didn't pay a dollar for this. 13,866 people reached.
Yeah, I saw that on your social media.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's smart. You guys are posting it. And that's due to your partnership with real estate brokers.
Right.
Because you don't have to do that.
Right.
But we understand the value in you doing that as you're posting, because at the end of the day, if you can help that family sell their home and reach their goals, that's a win-win for all parties, kind of what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, certainly. And again, it goes back to, having a team of experts, of people that actually care about, the situation and are working towards, the mission of what you called it earlier. And obviously the mission is selling, buying, getting to the closing table, having a fantastic experience, and making as much money as the seller can, the buyer getting a great deal.
Yeah. And it's amazing the people that you'll meet on social media, the people that you're getting in front of. I don't just stop at posting. I go out and find people.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is simply think about where your interest may lie. And it could be something related to homes or real estate, but it also be something related to a hobby. So, I have a lot of brokers that are friends of mine that are big into fitness. So they connect with a lot of people that are like-minded, right? Using the power of social media to connect with them, whether it's through CrossFit or whatever it may be, people want to work with like-minded people. They want to work with people that they trust. So as a new broker, it's important to really think outside the box, map it out, write it all down. Like you said, I love the idea of writing down everyone you know, and then I would take it a step further of everyone they may know, right? And then it's really about being able to build that genuine connection and understanding their goals.
It's so important to engage people in their life, in social media. I think something that we miss sometimes, maybe thinking we're overstepping our bounds by engaging, but people out there, I believe in home ownership. Every statistic out there shows that, being a homeowner, you're likely to have a better, even emotionally, financially, whatever it may be. I truly believe in home ownership. And there's just a lot of people out there that don't understand they can purchase a home. And so we need people actually to engage and to bring up things about, home buying, whether from the real estate side or from the lending side, to actually get the information and education out there. I think that's the big reason why we do this show, is to educate the community that, they too can purchase a home, become a homeowner, or save money or what have you. And so I think we need, as a industry-wide, need to do a better job of actually engaging people and bringing that education out there.
Yeah, I had a gentleman that I used to work with in the corporate world many years ago, and he would He would try his best every day, and no matter what he was doing, to leave people with three things. First and foremost is to make sure they're educated. Second was to make sure that they were inspired. And third was to make sure they were empowered. And when I think about a buyer or someone that is, it may be a fear thing. They just don't know what they don't know. And I think that if we as broker, as realtors, and really we're advisors, I mean, that's what we are, is we're advising folks, educating them to understand that everyone out there at some stage in their life could potentially have the opportunity to have home ownership and enjoy the rewards that comes with that. But if you don't educate them on it and then empower them to actually do it through connections and staying close to them, and maintaining a follow-up with them to inspire them to follow through with what their dreams are, a lot of people get stuck in the rent cycle. And when you sit down and you calculate, I would challenge everybody that is renting currently out there listening to sit down and calculate what do you spend per year in rent. And let's say we're looking at $3,000 and we've got a four-bedroom house. We're looking at $3,000. You are taking $36,000 a year and you're paying your landlord's mortgage. Think that about if that was your investment and the equity you would be having instantly by putting that towards a home. So it's about education and empowering them.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, you're talking about, you know, $3,000 a month. I mean, that's quite a nice house.
Of course.
You know, if you're renting a house that's $250,000, your rent's probably, I don't know, $2,500 these days. You know, that
and going up.
And going up and becoming even harder to qualify. And so, you know, you look at that type of a monthly payment expense. I mean, you can buy the same house for probably, you know, $1,700. Meanwhile, like $500 of that is actually going towards principal. And so you're actually building equity, building net worth, certainly improving your financial standpoint.
Yeah, and I think if you surround your self by people that are financially mindful, little things like you pay your mortgage, let's say it's $1,500 a month. Well, when you get that extra $200, put it towards principal. You get your bonus at the end of the year that might be $4,000. Don't mess with it. Send it to the mortgage company and put principal. And just really, again, that's ongoing education once somebody gets into a home. And we're all about that. We stay very connected to our clients because we're about really helping people build wealth through real estate. I'm starting to market the idea of a secondary home. I mentioned earlier about down at the coast in Wilmington. And the sole reason that we are getting into that market is to show our clients the power of building wealth in real estate. Owning a second home, now is a phenomenal time to do it. As we come out of the summer, a lot of times in the winter months, people that own secondary homes at the beach, for whatever reason, they may want to invest that money elsewhere into a home, you know, in the mountains. It just, for me, it's like a psychological thing. They're like, oh, I want to be in the mountains. You know,
right.
That may be a time for you to lean into that as an investor that's looking to get to the coast. So it's our duty as realtors in the Charlotte area to be able to bring people along on that journey.
Yeah, certainly my passion is personal finance and helping people, you know, build wealth. And obviously real estate is a fantastic way to do that. Certainly several opportunities or avenues to do that. Real estate is certainly one of them, one of which I actively participate in. Sounds like you do as well. And certainly something that we encourage. So if you've got questions, give us a call anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. I'm your host, Brandon Colbert. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. We've got Joe Carteret with the Carteret Group at Keller Williams. So Joe, is there anything particular right now that you're having to do from a marketing standpoint? Obviously, we're in a very hot market. If you're thinking about listing your home, don't do it for sale by owner. Even though it is a hot market, it still is a great value to hire an agent. That being said, is there anything that, you know, from a marketing standpoint that you're having to maybe switch up from, you know, previous years or kind of new school in market like social media wise?
Yeah, for me, it's all new, right? So I just started. And for me, it's really, I like to say that I bring a fresh perspective and a very bold action. So I tend to look at the box and understand, okay, this is what the typical real estate broker does, how they run their business. And then I like to try to break through that and understand that, okay, well, how can I reach my clients again where they are instead of, you know, trying to do it the way we've always done it and kind of really thinking unorthodox in the way in which we're doing things. So, you know, we target through social media. We do spend money on ads because we need to stay in front of people. Again, we're focusing on brand awareness right now, but it truly is for that purpose, is to educate them on who we are. I want folks to, as soon as they think real estate, they think the Carteret Group or Joe Carteret. And as soon as they think about just questions, whether it is they've already owned a home and they're not trying to sell a home, but they still have questions, it's okay. I'm a phone call away. Yeah. They can pick up the phone and call me. I think that we are spending a lot of time from a marketing perspective at going after and handpicking buyers for our listings. So if I know that I have a listing in the Myers Park area and I think, okay, well, what kind of buyer would fit in this area or be looking for this type of home? I start to lean into my investor contacts. I have 6 investors that I have under exclusive agreements right now to work with me. And for them, most of it is about investment properties and so on. But they also know people. They know people that have specifically been trying to get into the Myers Park area. They love the Queens Road West. They want to get on that street, right? So yeah. I think it's being very targeted in our approach and going after people versus for the right reasons, obviously. Versus just throwing it out there and see if it sticks. And a lot of times we think that that by just doing the basics, we're going to get the business. And people have choices, and they should. They should have choices, and we should earn that business. So I think it's about getting out there and showing them our value proposition.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest, you know, tool for social media or biggest, you know, reason to use social media is because there you can cast such a wide net, but it always comes down to personal relationships. You know, if you don't have a following on social media, you can post, you know, as much as you want, and no one's going to see it.
Yeah.
But if you have a good personal network, and you obviously network on social media, then you can cast that net and attract more buyers. You maybe know people, but even before you list, nobody wants to list their home and have to go through the process of, you know, decluttering and showing it and, you know, doing open houses. As a seller, it's inconvenient.
Right.
Especially now, right now. So, you know, you as the agent, Joe, can, you know, maybe attract or already have a pool of buyers for specific areas that you can, when you go into your listing meeting, say, hey, I've got, you know, 5 people that may be willing to buy this already. You know, it makes it for a much better experience from the seller standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we offer several options because we don't put everyone in a box. We understand that, you know, Brandon's goals as a seller may be different from someone else's. So again, in that listening phase and understanding exactly what their goals are, we look at it and say, okay, well, it sounds like maybe we are going to go the traditional route. There's some things that need to be done in the home. So we offer staging as a part of that, whether it is virtual staging, whether it's in person. And it doesn't always mean that we're throwing your furniture out and we're bringing new furniture. A lot of times it's just repurposing. It's taking a plant and moving it elsewhere. It's taking a picture and moving it into a different room in the home so that it pops, it stands out a little differently and catches the eye of the buyer. Or maybe a traditional listing is not the approach because you know, COVID has brought some fears in sellers. You know, you don't want a lot of people in your home, even though we do take very strict safety precautions to make sure that people are protected coming in a home. Maybe you just don't want to deal with it. You have a very stressful job and you don't want to have to deal with showings and such. So we offer an iBuyer option. We do offer cash options. We have investors that are looking to buy properties. You may not get market value. And we're transparent about that up front, but it is an option and everybody's goals are different. So that cash offer might be something very attractive to them. One more thing about the marketing, I think, is in today's world, what I'm seeing is if you don't have video, you're not going to, you're not competing at the level in which you should. We're actually starting a vlog. We've hired a professional media company that is going to be producing a vlog for us starting in September. So I'm extremely excited about that. And then we will build some very targeting marketing related to, you know, some of the coastal areas. We're going to highlight some businesses. So our partnerships are critical for us. So I think that it's not just about the buyer or seller client. It's about getting out there and showcasing the lender, showcasing the attorney that we use or the restaurant that you need to go visit. So just different things outside the box we're doing.
Joe Carteret with the Carteret Group at Keller Williams. Joe, the last question I had for you was, you know, give us, you know, one reason why, you know, people should reach out to you. You just gave us about 10 and knocked it out of the park. So no need to ask the question. Joe, great information. We really appreciate you being here with us.
Yeah, thank you again. I appreciate the opportunity. I think it's, you know, I'm sure you heard from my passion today. I'm extremely passionate about achieving someone's goals. I think that reaching out to us, you're going to be in good hands. We have a 5-star rating on Google. We take care of our clients like it's family, and I'm never going to put somebody in a position that I wouldn't put myself in. So I think that, you know, we'd love to help folks that are interested in selling, buying, or investing. And we're on social media, so you can reach out through social media. Again, we are positioned from an office perspective in Charlotte, Raleigh, and now Wilmington, so we can help you at the coast. You can reach us at 704-840-7613. Again, Joe Carteret with the Carteret Group, joe@thecarteretgroup.com or joecarteret.com.
Fantastic.
That was a lot.
No, it was all good, brother. Certainly appreciate you being here. Great information. Thanks so much for listening and tuning in this weekend. We hope you have a great Saturday, and we will certainly catch you back here next week. Take care.
Take care.
You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, Antigua K's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Call Brandon at 704-999-6646 or visit Brandon Kohlberg online at carolinasmortgageradio.com. Join Carolina's Mortgage Radio again next Saturday morning beginning at 9 a.m. right here on WRHI FM 100.1.